You've got the Peter B. Collins Show, up and down the left coast. I'm off on vacation, and pleased to welcome your able blogger and all-around radio guy, Brad Friedman from bradblog.com.
I've got to cheer myself up after that last hour. Little Mungo Jerry usually does the trick.
In the summertime, when the weather is high, you can stretch right up and touch the sky. When the weather's fine, you got women on your mind.
Yeah, I do.
Have a drink, have a drive, go out and see what you can find.
I'm going to. You know, it's my birthday.
If a daddy's rich, take her out for a meal.
Yeah.
If a daddy's poor, just do what you feel.
I'm going to go out and have a drink or something after this show. Meeting some folks from Houston's Election Integrity Group out here. Supposed to be me here at the station. We're broadcasting from Houston, Texas. KPFT 90.1 FM. And welcome to the third, no, where are we here? Yeah, the third hour, our Election Integrity Hour of the Peter B. Collins Show, our daily Election Integrity Hour, now that we've hijacked PBC's show. We snuck in a little bit of Election Integrity earlier when we had Christine Jennings on from the Florida 13, Congressional District 13 race that continues, the contest continues after 18,000 votes disappeared. She gave us a little bit of news that... July 27th, the GAO will be meeting, of course, in secret behind closed doors with Congress to discuss their findings in her federal election challenge down there. She also announced she was running for re-election. That's what I'm going to call it in 08. But she's going to continue her fight. We'll try to get that interview up in archives as soon as we can after the show over at bradblog.com. Want to thank everyone for listening here tonight. And as we are going to try to do every night that we can, we're joined by our good friend John Gideon from votersunite.org with his daily voting news report. Oh, John.
I'm here. Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you, sir. How are you?
Good.
Did you get a listen to that Christine Jennings interview?
I didn't have the opportunity. I was busy working on finishing up daily voting news and getting it out to the hundreds who all subscribe to it.
Oh, you know, I'm glad you brought that up. Is there a way to that? We've posted, of course, every day at bradblog.com. It'll be up right after we go off the air here, I think. But is there a way that folks can get it in their email box?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
well,
actually,
never mind.
Send an email to dvn at votersunite.org and just request that you be added to the subscriber list, and I will add your name, and you get the news every day.
All right. Hundreds of readers there, certainly thousands at BradBlog and elsewhere following what you do. Christine Jennings, by the way, had some very nice words for what we do over there at BradBlog, and a lot of that is due to you. What's going on today? What are the lead voting news stories today, John?
Well, it appears that Kim Zetter of Wired News on her blog this morning, I woke up to find that she's announced that the Holt bill, H.R. 811, may be dead. She wasn't able to get any confirmation on that, but we're trying to track it down and get somebody to say yay or nay to let us know what's going on with it.
Well, this bill, H.R. 811, Rush Holt's election reform, what's the official name of that bill? Do you remember? The Voter Integrity and Confidence, what, increased confidence?
Yes, something like that.
Something like that, yeah. Well, that's supposed to come up for a vote on the House floor any day now, and, of course, they've been saying that for, geez, going on a month at
yes.
this point, and it may well be dead with, you had mentioned yesterday that your Congress member, Norm Dick, had...
Norm Dix, had
dropped out or was no longer supporting or was concerned about it. Dennis Kucinich has dropped out, no longer supporting it. Maxine Waters has expressed concerns. And these guys were all co-sponsors. So is this thing dead as a doornail or not? Rush Holt says, No, it's they're still negotiating, right?
That's what I understand.
Any idea what they're negotiating on at this point?
No, I have no idea because, as you know, we are have been removed from the list and we're no longer able to hear what's going on. That's just for the insiders.
Well, they used to like us, John. What happened?
They did used to like us. You're right.
Holt's office.
We had some issues with the legislation and no longer.
By the way, I forgot to give out our phone number, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. So we don't know if the Holt bill is dead or not. We'll keep our eye on that. Anything else going on in the world of voting?
Apparently, county elections people throughout Pennsylvania have all gotten together. They had a meeting. All of those who use election systems and software, ESNS, DREs, they all got together and have asked the state. They had a meeting, and they asked the state to do something to help them because ESNS is charging them exorbitant prices for maintenance. And as with most counties in the country, they're hurting for money. They all have to balance their budget, unlike the federal government. And because of that, they don't have the money to spend tens of thousands of dollars per county to spend to give to ESNS for a maintenance contract that may not be used each year. And so they're very concerned about what these machines are doing to their budgets.
Well, and this was one of the things we were going to save all this money on paper with these touchscreen voting machines, John. And the report came out of Riverside County last week that costs have gone through the roof. You had a story you linked up to in Utah where it was Salt Lake City, I think, where their municipal elections are now going to cost, what, three times more than what they did when they had paper systems?
Yes, yes. Yeah, all the studies that have been done so far all show without a doubt that paper-based systems, paper ballots, optical scan, are all cheaper than using electronic ballots and DREs. It's just, there is no comparison between the two. It's just hugely expensive to use these machines, and yet counties are using them and insisting on using them. And hopefully they come to a different conclusion, eventually. I think that, I'm suggesting to people in Pennsylvania that they look at Oklahoma, where they bought ESNS voting machines, and immediately that they got everything into the state. They told ESNS, thank you very much. We don't need you anymore.
So what kind?
Out of the state.
Well, that was Oklahoma. What kind of systems did they buy? Paper-based optical scan
they
systems?
They bought optical scan machines, but they do all of the work themselves. They contract out the printing. They do all of the software. The state does the software themselves.
So they avoid the privatization of these guys. I mean, because we had disasters from ESNS all throughout 2006. They weren't showing up. They weren't doing their programming. They weren't delivering their ballots, even their paper ballots, absentee ballots on time. And so you feel the difference in Oklahoma is the fact that they said, hey, get lost. Thanks for the machines. We'll take it from here?
No doubt about it. There is. I do check the news every day. That's what I do during the day, and I'll tell you that very, very seldom do I ever report anything from Oklahoma, and I don't recall ever reporting any problems with voting systems that failed anywhere in Oklahoma.
Okay.
It doesn't happen.
Well, listen, John, can you stick around for another segment? We're going to have Robert Cohen from producer of Hacking Democracy. You want to stick around and
sure.
With him and take another call?
Sure.
All right. Sit tight, John Gideon of VotersUnite.org, the mastermind behind the daily voting news, and, of course, the Brad blog while I'm away. He's running the joint. He's renamed it, what, John Blog, right?
John Blog.
Yeah, okay. Go check out John Blog, but when you want to see it, go to bradblog.com, because that's the only way you're going to find it. We're going to be back with John Gideon, Robert Cohen of HBO's Hacking Democracy, and Rebecca Mercury is coming at the bottom of the hour to raise some hell, plus your calls, much more. You're listening to The Peter B. Collins Show.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Hey, hello everybody. Let's take a look at traffic and get you updated with a couple things you folks need to know about. For example, we do still have that major problem in San Jose, and let's get to it. It's located on Kirtner Avenue between Canoas Garden, Old Almond Expressway. That roadway completely shut down. The reason a big rig hit the Almond Expressway overcrossing. San Jose PD on scene. Santa Cruz County Highway 1 at Ocean, fender bender, right shoulder, three vehicles involved. And Carmel, northbound 1, just before Carpenter Street, a pickup truck blocking the right lane, it stalled out. And Monterey County, we have an accident on Highway 1 north of Little Sur River Bridge. It's a motorcycle down. Now, fortunately, no injuries, but the CHP is on scene there. No problems to report on Highway 17. A support brought to you by National University, the most important business deal you'll choose is yourself. Earn a degree at National University.
Tuesday in November, I took that stroll. to cast my ballot at the local poll. The lines were long, but I didn't care. I had water, a hat, and my folding chair. Walked up to the booth, didn't say a word. Sure that my voice would be heard. I hit that button, my vote was sent. But now nobody knows exactly where it went. I lost my vote. It isn't fair.
No.
I took a stand. Doesn't anybody
no
care?
No one cares.
And lost my vote. Now do you know where?
No.
Did my ballot go? Whoa, whoa,
whoa. Nobody knows. That's Ellen Buxtel with Lost My Vote. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, our daily election integrity hour. Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com sitting in for Peter B., who's away on a much-deserved vacation overseas. We're talking with John Gideon of VotersUnite.org, and we're going to be joined momentarily. Oh, we got him. Okay. Hey, Robert Cohen from, he's got a middle name. Rob, he's going to have to tell us in a second. What is it?
Rob
that's right. Rob Carrillo. That's right. Robert Carrillo Cohen. Wanted to get it right for you, Rob. From HBO's Hacking Democracy, a congratulations are in order to you, sir. Welcome to the show. I'll let you tell everyone why. Congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. You know, everybody involved in the project, you know, completely besides themselves with excitement about, you know, having an Emmy nomination for the film. And, you know me, I'll say, you know, I think it's kind of a Emmy nomination for all of us out there that think it's important to be the media.
Being the media, indeed. And the nomination is for investigative journalism, long form. Is that what it is?
That's exactly the title, which I guess translates to best feature-length journalistic documentary.
And you were working on this film, and it's a great film. If anyone hasn't seen it, Hacking Democracy, fabulous film. How long were you all working on that film, Rob?
Probably total almost 4 years.
4 years. Man, that is long-form investigative journalism.
And it was not an easy 4 years. All sorts of, you know, what do we do? How do we make this work? How do we make it, you know, accessible to a wide audience? How do we make it, you know, really communicate to people, you know, how important this is, and yet make it entertaining, and it's just really, you know, it's great to have it come across so well.
But it certainly is, and much deserved praise, and I hope that it gets, how has the response been? It was just announced officially this morning, correct?
Well, my email box has been...
Your email box is full?
Very nicely.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Calls, is the media calling, or am I the only media calling?
You know, we through various other channels, through the whole team, yes, I think, you know, that we've had a number of people get in touch with us. But, you know, I think it's, you know, at this point it's just a nomination. So, you know, we'll see what happens as we move forward.
Just a nomination.
Well, it's true. It's like, God, who, you know, it's a big gift in and of itself. I mean,
Have you been nominated before, Rob Cohen?
Only probably in a previous lifetime, but this one for this lifetime.
I see. John Gideon from VotersUnite.org, you, of course, saw Hacking Democracy as well. Were you surprised? I'm presuming you saw the whole film, haven't you, John?
Oh, yeah, I've seen it.
You have. Were you as surprised as I was? Because, you know, you and I had both followed what had happened in this extraordinary hack down there in Florida. But seeing it... you have a completely different, you know, when you see this detective story sort of unfold before your eyes, and seeing this moment at the end of the movie, not to give too much away, but Susan Pinchon and her reaction to seeing this hack, it kind of made me, and this is praise, Rob, but it made me sick to my stomach. So, what, John, did you have a similar reaction?
I think the one thing that I remember that just strikes me the most is the first meeting between Susan Pinchon and I think it was Kitty and Bev Harris, where Susan found out that Bev Harris was actually there with the crew, and then that was the day that they went out and did the dumpster diving, it's amazing, the small world and everything, and beautiful story.
And yeah. Yeah, and actually, Susan Pinchot is from Safe down there. I forget.
Save Our Votes.
No, that's not her. Great election integrity advocate down there in Florida.
Florida Fair Elections.
Florida Fair. There you go.
Committee now.
There we go. Yeah, and I should.
But he's right. I mean, just that, you know, they come together, and then, you know, first Bev finds the horrible evidence of votes in the trash, and then Susan's right there to back her up and find all the rest of the missing, you know, documents as well. It was pretty fun.
And, you know, and I should add, although made me sick to my stomach, says Brad Friedman of BradBlog, is a pretty good pull quote, but I should also add that it was actually really funny, and really funny was one segment on the DVD extras, now that it's out.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Bev Harris of blackboxvoting.org, who's a central mm-hmm. hero in this film, the scene where she's appearing over, where they won't let her look at first at the computer that they're checking some tabulation on, and she says, that's okay, and she stands on a chair over the top of an office divider, and she says, I brought binoculars. And she's standing up there looking trying to look at the computer screen mm-hmm. through binoculars.
Well,
hysterical.
And at first, of course, they were at complete odds with each other, you know, with the woman refusing to let her go anywhere near her election equipment. And by the time they'd actually had a real conversation with each other, they became fast friends, and Bev was sitting there helping her run her own equipment.
Is there a sequel coming? I got to get out here at bottom of the hour. Is there a sequel coming for Hacking Democracy, Rob Cohn?
Well, we're doing a couple of things. First, let me thank also my co-producers, Russ Michaels and Simon Artizoni. I know Russ is actually working on shooting some other stuff, possibly that could be coming out, possibly long form. I'm working on getting more rapid response stuff out, short video clips, get them up on the Internet. And people have been asking about having a National Day of House Parties. I just want to let people know that we are organizing for a National Day of House Parties with the DVD for the fall. You'll be able to get more information about that soon on the Public Interest Pictures PIPDocs.org website.
PIPDoc. I got to get out PIPDocs, right?
Yes, .org.
PIPDocs.org. Check it out. Rob Cohn, congratulations for Hacking Democracy. Great work. Well-deserved. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks, Brad. Appreciate
you bet.
It.
John Gideon, Daily Voting News. It'll be posted at bradblog.com after the show. VotersUnite.org. We're back for more with Rebecca Mercury after this.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Okay, you want a website? What next? A lot of people can do the job, but you want innovation at a reasonable price. You want Dale Edward. Dale builds amazing websites with streaming video. Being a pro photographer ensures high-quality content. Websites, wedding, and special events photography, all at a reasonable price. Go to DaleEdward.com or call 277-9847. That's 277-9847.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Seize the day and save money. That's the slogan of Stardate Solar, a company providing you with the highest quality solar power for your Monterey Bay Area home or business at the guaranteed lowest price. And that's the idea behind the Stardate Solar Power Hour. I'm your host, Dale Julin. Every Saturday at high noon, our nationally known cast of energy experts will tell you the latest news about the coming solar economy. And you'll also hear about the politics of solar power as well. The Stardate Solar Power Hour, Saturdays at noon and at StardateSolar.com.
How would you like to stop your taxes from paying for war? You can support the War Tax Option Act, which adds a checkbox to your tax form that stops your taxes from funding war. This frees up your tax money to pay for other vital programs that you care about. For more information, call 831-521-6042 or visit wartaxoption.org.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and Peter B. on vacation. Hosting today from Houston, the citizen journalist who presides over BradBlog.com. Here's Brad Friedman.
What is wrong?
There we go.
And the evidence is clear. I'm not alone. There are thousands of us here.
There are.
This is my democracy.
Try, but it won't work.
And is not worth fighting for.
It's well worth fighting for.
This is our democracy. We'll fight to keep it free. You won't go telling me. Our vote don't matter anymore.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Our vote is well worth fighting for.
Fighting for your vote, each and every damn one of them. Make sure they're actually counted and counted correctly. Rebecca, Dr. Rebecca Mercury, coming up with us very shortly here. I want to let you know, tomorrow on the Peter B. Collins Show, are we confirmed now? Is Cindy Sheehan going to be with us? Cindy Sheehan and David Swanson are both going to be joining us from their impeachment rally in Virginia. And blogger Arlen Parsa, who has a hell of a scoop today that he guest blogged over at BradBlog.com. Go check it out. The Republicans are swift voting themselves. It's unbelievable. What John McCain's camp is now doing to Rudy Giuliani. Oh, man. And Fred Thompson. Go check this thing out over at BradBlog.com. An incredible story. What else do I need to cover? Any other business for the moment? We go to Rebecca. All right, going to Rebecca Mercury, who also did some guest blogging today at the Brad Blog while I was out and about having fun doing stuff like hosting a radio show. Rebecca, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Brad, thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks for being on. Let me see. Well, actually, I've already lost your bio. See, this is what happens when they let bloggers take over. I know, but here we go. I'm going to start over. Dr. Rebecca Mercury has been in the forefront of the voting integrity movement since 1989. She was paying attention when we weren't, people. She provides expert witness services at the company she founded, Notable Software Inc., for elections and other forensic computing matters. I should also add,
She is the namesake of the Mercury Method, so we'll talk about that in a second. But now an official hello. Rebecca, how are you?
Hi, very good, and it's warm up here, too. So.
Yeah, where are you actually located, Rebecca?
Over in Central Jersey, I understand. It's pretty warm down there in Texas.
Central, yeah, it is. But Central Jersey, huh, that's the district of a fellow by the name of Congressman Rush Holt?
Well, actually, they've gerrymandered the state so efficiently that the county that Holt is in actually has three congressional districts, so it's quite well gerrymandered. I moved 7 miles down the road and found myself out of his district. So he was my congressman for many years. I actually had campaigned for him and had, you know, worked heavily for his effort for many years, but no more. So.
No more. Does he take your calls anymore, Rebecca?
His aide, Michelle Mulder, sent me an email saying that they were not interested in hearing from me. I asked him if that also meant that pertained to the campaign contribution I had sent to his last campaign.
Wow.
But he refrained from comment.
Wow. So, well, just so if people don't know, Rush Holt's the author of the H.R. 811, the Increased Voter Confidence Integrity Act, something like that. I can never remember the name. It does not ban DREs. It has a whole DRE touchscreen voting systems, has a whole host of other problems. And there's word today. Did you see the word today that the bill may be dead?
Yes, I did. I saw that they're saying that it may not be introduced for the vote, so that there was problems on Tuesday with the wording, and, you know, maybe that's a good thing.
What do you make of that? Do you think, what are your if this thing dies at this point, what do you think will have been the death nail in the coffin?
Well, I don't see that it's really dead. I mean, they've got the Feinstein bill coming out, you know, next week is going to have the hearings, and that bill's even worse than his, and that was supposed to be the companion bill. So, you know, they may wait to see how those hearings go, and you know, whoever they've invited to the table and what they're going to say. And obviously they're listening to the people who are blogging and showing up at the town meetings and complaining. So, you know, even if they don't, you know, bring them to the hearings, they are having to deal with the constituents and the voters. So, you know, it's quite possible that that one could get killed too. So, you know, I say keep up the good work.
That's really all
I can say about that.
Well, you know, I'm not trying to kill it. I'd like to see it changed. I think you'd like to kill it for sure, right?
I think it's so hopelessly co-opted at this point in time. I mean, it was bloated from a fairly decent bill first introduced a few years ago to the bill that it is now, something like 67 pages or something like that. And it's very hard to even tell, you know, what needs to be axed. I mean, it really should probably just be scrapped and started again. But that bill, actually none of the three bills, his first one, the second one, and then the one in this Congress, the third one in its revised version, none of them actually ever were the Mercury Method. Because the Mercury Method, people think it's the ballot behind glass thing. But it's not. It could be that. But it actually requires that the ballots that are verified by the voters be the ballots that are counted. And those are the ballots that are counted on election night. Those are the returns, not some fake computer vote, and then we audit against that with the paper and all that other nonsense.
Well,
so that never was the Mercury Method, and people can read my earlier papers on that before it was ever even called that.
let me get that clear then, because we're talking about these votes behind the glass. We're talking about these reel-to-reel paper trails that are on these touchscreen machines. They came out with these touchscreens. They didn't have any paper trail whatsoever.
Right.
And did you not devise the method or suggest the method of keeping them on a continuous roll?
No, not ever on a continuous roll. I never said. They were always on separate pieces of paper. They were never contiguous. And, in fact, that would have violated voter privacy. I had told the vendors that from day one when they came out with it. Well, first they all laughed in my face and said, that will never happen. You know, we had plenty of record of them going on record saying, you know, that will never happen. And then once, you know, the wind started to change, well, they came up with the worst possible configuration for the voter verified ballots. They were supposed to be cut sheets. And again, if you go back to my 1993 paper, it's separate sheets of paper, and they were, you know, supposed to be separated and dropped down into a box, and those were supposed to be the ballots that were counted on election night. So, So I was among, at the time, you know, there were a number of people who had proposed a similar idea. I was unaware of the other two. Those were proposed in the late 80s. And I had proposed in a paper that I wrote for a security conference this ballot behind glass and, you know, the separate papers. And that was mainly to counteract the fact that vendors were selling these DREs that you had no way to do an independent count. So you were stuck with whatever came out of the electronics. So basically different people came up with this idea independently. But all of the written records of all the other descriptions were that you would use it as an audit or you'd compare it, you know, to the computer. But as far as I was concerned, the computer is garbage in, garbage out. So you can't use that as you know, the method by which you're comparing to. And in fact, the audit method in Holt's bill actually computes the percentages of how much you're going to audit based on the computer totals. So if those are wrong from the get-go, how can you even use those to compute the amounts you're supposed to count?
That's ridiculous,
too. We can prove that mathematically. And then finally, what we found out, you know, since 2000 and more DREs are, you know, being implemented, now maybe less, but, you know, people are going back to op scans. But we find that these machines can be used to disenfranchise voters. In California and Ohio cases that I was involved in, even though they had the VVPATs, they never counted them, or they counted them in insufficient percentages, even despite rulings in state law that said that they were supposed to count them. So these VVPATs are really useless. So, you know, since 2002, I've said, you know, it's a bad idea. I only came up with it because it looked like everybody was going to be buying these DREs, and at least we should have something.
And this is the VVPAT, voter verified paper audit trail.
Ballot. I've always called it a voter verified paper ballot.
Well, it ain't a ballot if they don't count it.
Exactly,
really.
And so that's why I've always called it a ballot, because I always said it had to be the thing that was counted.
Oh, silly you. You thought they were going to count these things?
Right, silly me. And people in California really think, you know, oh, they have this, you know, state law that says that, you know, in the case of a recount, that they're going to be counted. Well, in Orange County, and this was just, as you were saying, Republicans bashing on Republicans. Boy, they can be pretty brutal. This was a Republican against Republican election. They were replacing someone who had moved up to a higher post.
Right.
And it's in there's some YouTube videos that you can find of me testifying this case. And basically, there, you know, all the attorneys on one side were saying, well, there's these VVPATs and you're supposed to count them. And the other side said, well, there's this earlier law that says if you have paper ballots and computer totals, then the person asking for the recount can pretty much pick what they want.
And
the judge ruled in favor of that, even despite the fact that there's this later law. So people are unaware. They're unaware that, you know, these laws have been created so that they can be, you know, jerry-rigged to, you know, if you like, you know, these totals, you can count these ballots, and if you don't like these totals, well, you won't count those ballots. And I'm seeing this being done in courtroom after courtroom.
They think that we have,
because I'm getting called in as the expert witness. So.
They think that we have a paper trail, so everything is okay. And you mentioned being on as an expert witness here, you would actually stand to gain, would you not, if the Holt bill was passed, now that it only allows quote-unquote experts to look at the source code? That would be a good thing for you, wouldn't it? You'd be hired to deal with
Well, not the way the law is currently written. I personally wouldn't get to look at the source code unless I had attorneys that were going to indemnify me from any lawsuits that could occur following my looking at the code.
Well,
the way he's currently written, first of all, they're saying that the bill says that it's open code. Well, it's not. They've exempted COTS, that's commercial off-the-shelf software. I've written quite extensively about that over the years.
Right.
And their vendors have always tried to exempt COTS, and now we find out that Microsoft was behind this latest round in New York State, and also, you know, with the Holt bill, in getting, so a lot of the code you're still not going to get to see. So
you're still not going
that.
To. Let me get to a call here real quick,
sure.
And we're going to come back and because you found something very interesting out about Rush Holt and his connection to one of the voting machine companies. I want to take a quick call here before we go to a break. Chris in Salinas has some concerns, not about touchscreen systems, but about the optical scan paper-based systems. Chris, welcome to the PBC show.
Yeah, I had some concerns about John was talking about in Oklahoma. And
yeah.
he said, well, he hasn't seen any breakdowns. But, you know, using an op scan system, the op scans are notoriously inaccurate, as far as I believe. And what kind of audit system do they have to make sure that the op scans are correctly counting the votes?
Good point. Good question. Rebecca, I don't know if you know what they use out there in Oklahoma, but when we use these paper-based systems with optical scan, are they any good if you don't have an appropriate audit?
No, they're not. And in fact, again, the same rule applies. If you're auditing, you're only looking at a certain percentage of them. And if the election is close, the math says that you have to actually hand count 93% of the ballots in a, you know, like 52-48% election. That's pretty close. That's not as close as some elections, like, you know, that we've even seen closer ones. So you have to do practically 100% hand count in order to be assured that these numbers are correct. We've seen all sorts of crazy things with op scans where they count up to a certain point and start counting backwards. We saw the Hursty hack. The original Hursty hack was done on op scans. He never touched the machines, just one of the cards that goes into the machine. And
so maybe we ought to just count them.
The machine. So it's, you know, the op scans are no safer. They really are not. It's just that with the op scans, at least you have a ballot that was prepared by the voter and not prepared by the computer. And
exactly right. That we know reflects the voter intent. I got to get to a break here. Rebecca Mercury, we're going to come back. We still have time to get in another call, perhaps, 888-5-PETER-B. Check out in the break, bradblog.com, to see this photograph that Rebecca Mercury took of Rush Holt's office and his next-door neighbor, or as she calls him, his backyard buddy. Pretty amazing, and we'll tell you why. And it goes back to the cut sheets and the cut ballots, and man, it's getting ugly out there. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm Brad Friedman. We're back with our final segment right after this.
Sober Stones, do you have yours yet? Big Sur Jade is now available for you. This rare, beautiful, deep green jade is found in a tiny cove south of Big Sur, used by Native Americans in healing for hundreds of years. Keep one in your pocket to remind you of your commitment to living life present and sober. Go to SoberStones.com, SoberStones.com, for your beautiful pocket jade. Touch it, feel it every day. Look at it. Sober Stones.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Plenty of activity to talk about as you folks make your way home tonight. Let's give you the very latest, starting off with a situation in San Jose. We've been continuing to tell you about this, and it's actually San Jose PD on the scene of this problem. It's a sig alert, major problem, northbound 280. It's northbound 280, the ramp to Ray Street. It's a grass fire. Everything is now out, but the ramp has now been reopened. It was shut down for quite some time. Traffic is slow from 87 southbound, slow close, Winchester Boulevard to Bird Avenue. Meanwhile, Santa Cruz, let's cruise on over to Carmel. Northbound 1 before Carpenter, a street pickup truck blocking the right lane. Monterey County, we have an accident north of, it's Highway 1 north of Little Sur River Bridge. Motorcycle down, CHP on scene. Salinas, northbound 101 before John Street, three-vehicle crash. Emergency crews on scene. The support brought to you by Orkin Pest Control.
That's your message. Rebecca, that was a message from Rush Holt there, I think. He doesn't want you there anymore. What can I say? We're talking to Rebecca Mercury. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com, sitting in for Peter B., ruining his show for the whole next week and a half. You're not going to want to miss a single hour. So we're back for a whole bunch more tomorrow and all next week. Coming into our closing minutes here, we can maybe take one more call, 888-573-8372. If you want to talk to Rebecca Mercury, the mother of the Mercury Method. If you don't know what that means, tune in to stop by BradBlog.com. Hear the archives after the show. Anyway, you were talking about the Mercury Method actually being the cut sheets that come off of these touchscreen voting machines. They'll theoretically be required in this Holt election reform bill. There's some very tepid language in there that calls for individual ballots. They call them ballots, but they're really paper trails. It's not defined, but they seem to be implying that instead of the reel-to-reel continuous trails, that you're going to have cut pieces of paper. And supporters of this bill have said, well, even though we hate touchscreen DREs, don't worry about it because nobody makes a machine that has cut ballots like that. Nobody makes a touchscreen machine, so everyone's going to have to go to a op-scan system. You have found that is not so, and you've got a pretty damning picture. There is one company in America that makes a DRE touchscreen with cut ballots. Am I correct, Rebecca?
That is correct. Right now, so far as we know, no other companies are certified. They don't have their equipment certified, and some of the companies that were trying to get their equipment certified to do that are being sued by this same very company.
And the company is?
It is Avante. And Avante is the next-door neighbor. They're right in the very next building. They're a company that also makes AI technologies and has other technologies. And they got into the voting business shortly before the 2000 election, and then the 2000 election occurred. And then they issued a very peculiar patent disclosure because, in fact, it contained information that was prior art that is in my doctoral thesis that was issued before their patent disclosure without my permission, and as well was material that I had been writing about and talking about, and then at least these two other people had been writing about prior to, you know, for at least a decade before Avante issued this patent disclosure.
Okay,
so then they quietly got a patent, and then, you know, they were starting to build this stuff. Nobody really knew that they had gotten, you know, a patent until they decided to go ahead and sue the big three voting machine companies and actually a fourth one in a separate lawsuit.
Okay.
So they have lawsuits out on the record books.
So they're suing these other companies. They're suing these other companies for the paper trails. But in fact, they are the only company that makes a machine right now that's actually certified with cut sheets of ballots.
That's right.
And we look, and you've got the, excuse me a second. You've got the photograph showing the Avante sign right next to Congressman Rush Holt. Is that actually his main office in New Jersey?
Local office, his New Jersey district office. That's his office there in New Jersey.
So these guys stand.
He's there. They're right across the parking lot on the same side of the street. Now, I'm not saying anything about them walking back and forth with bags of money, but the concept of pork barrel politics.
No, but the only, Rebecca,
by bringing money and jobs back to your district. It's not exchange of money. And this lawsuit actually says that if they prevail, you know, in this lawsuit, Avante, one of the remedies that they want is all the other VVPATs with cut sheets to be destroyed and or turned over to them, and then all business of that sort be turned over to them. That's among four remedies.
So there's one voting machine company in all of America that actually makes a bill, a voting machine that would comply with Rush Holt's bill. It's made by a company named Avante, and darn the coincidences. This company is across the parking lot from Congressman Rush Holt's New Jersey main headquarters
office.
Unbelievable. Go check out this full story. Rebecca Mercury, thanks for speaking up. Thanks for all you do. Go check out the Electric Kool-Aid Voting Test over at bradblog.com. A guest blog posted this morning by Rebecca Mercury. Software expert and troublemaker after my heart.
Extraordinaire. Yeah.
Extraordinaire. Notable. Give us your website, NotableSoftware.com.
You can find lots of old stuff archived there and, you know, hopefully some new stuff when I get the chance. But there's stuff, you know, most of my new stuff is linked over on your site. And thanks for the forum.
Well, thank you for speaking up, no matter how many friends it brings you. I know the feeling. We got to speak up. That's what this whole democracy thing is about. Thank you very much, Rebecca.
You're welcome, Brad. Take care.
All righty. Thank you. Well, another show in the can. And a big show in the can. We got much more coming for you tomorrow. Hope you're going to stick with us on the Peter B. Collins Show tomorrow and for the next week. Want to thank all of our guests today. Who did we have? I can't even remember. Faz Shakir, Christine Jennings. Oh, and we will get that up. Who's listening? Alan Breslauer. Oh, Alan, are you listening? Let's get that Christine Jennings interview up as soon as we can. But we hope to have all of these archives if you missed even a minute of tonight's thrilling program. Thanks to Scott Dick. Thanks to Mike Zakea of IAVA.org, Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. Not against the war. Oh, Des, you're so fired. John Gideon of VotersUnite.org. Robert Carrillo Cohen, the new nominee, Emmy nominee for Hacking Democracy. I was going to say .com, but Hacking Democracy. You can check him out at pipdocs.org. Get your own copy of the film. And, of course, Dr. Rebecca Mercury. What else we got tomorrow? Cindy Sheehan, David Swanson. Where's the rest of the list? And Lord knows what. Oh, Arlen Parsick. God, go check out that breaking news at bradblog.com. I want to thank Des here in the studio, Odie McClay down here, and the good folks at KPFT in Houston, Texas, where we will be once again tomorrow. Thanks to Brian Urban back at the mothership. Mission Control back in San Francisco. Katrina Rill. Oh, man, I'll get better at this. We'll talk to you all tomorrow.